93 FM, The Eagle.
I'm Pastor Ben Gregory.
And I'm Evangelist Curtis Williams.
And we're Loving Life.
If there's no fire in the pulpit, there'll be no power in the pew.
This program is sponsored in part by TaxTech. It's that time of year again. We all dread getting our taxes done. Give out a shout to Jason and the guys at TaxTech. They have a fully qualified staff who do a great job. Not only do they prepare tax returns, they do small business consulting, payroll, and bookkeeping. Give them a call at 859-233-1920. Tell them you heard it on Love and Life. That's TaxTech, 501 Darby Creek Road, Suite Number 5 in Lexington, 859-233-1920.
Friends, it's been a long, hard winter, and you've been thinking we really need to replace the windows in this old drafty home of ours. Give our friends at Thermal Pro Home Improvements a call. They do roofing, siding, windows, gutters. They'll do a great job for you at a real good price. That's our friends at Thermal Pro Home Improvement. The phone number is 548-9390. That's 548-9390.
Here's Love and Life singing round the Master's throne. Curtis, I really love that song. Whenever I hear it, I just get a vision of heaven, and it talks about that in that song. And I think about, you know, John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And, you know, that alone just really stirs my heart when I think about that, because John, tradition says they tried to boil him in oil and it didn't kill him, so they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos to work in the mines, and hoping that that would kill him. But he was a man of God, and God wasn't done with him yet. John had every reason to be discouraged or to be depressed, but instead of that, on the Lord's Day, he said, I was in the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And then he talks about what he saw there in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, letters to the seven churches of Asia. But then when he got into chapter 4, and this is what this song is about, he said, I saw a door opened in heaven. and a voice said, come up higher. And then he talks about what he saw around the throne of God. He talked about the throne and the one that sat on the throne. He talked about the rainbow around the throne, it's like his emerald. He talked about the 24 elders that were praising God and they cast their crowns at his feet. He talked about angels, and I just get a picture of that. And he talked about the multitudes that would be around the throne of God. And I think when you talk about singing round the Master's throne, that will be a glorious time. I can just envision what it's going to be when we get to heaven, get reunited with loved ones. We get to see Jesus, the one who made it possible for us to be there. But to be honest with you, I've got a problem. I have a problem not with the song, because I think the song is really accurate. I think it's true. I think that one day we are going to go to heaven. We are going to be able to worship God around the throne. But I have a problem with Christians who think that that is all that there is. I have a problem with those who think that Christianity is no more than a pie in the sky, get it when you die religion. As a matter of fact, I don't even consider Christianity as a religion. Religion puts people in bondage with all its religious traditions and its rituals and its regulations. Jesus had more problems with religious people than he did with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus came to set captives free. And I said that religion puts us in bondage. Jesus didn't come to give us a new religion, but he came to set us free. Christianity is not about being religious. It's about having a relationship with Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this relationship is what sets us free. So today we're going to explore the book of Matthew. We will begin by reading a few verses in Matthew 24. And I realize that when I mention Matthew 24, Bible scholars that are listening today, their ears perk up. Their eyes brighten, they sit up in their seats because they think that we're going to be talking about the end times. We're not talking so much about the end times today as we are talking about the now times. I believe that God is the God of now, and so we're going to be talking about that. So briefly, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to jump down to verse 14. It says this, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Verses 4 through 14, Jesus gave several signs of the end times. And today we're only going to be looking at the sign that's found in verse 14. Verse 14 says this, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, as I read that and I thought a lot about the gospel of the kingdom. I've been in foreign countries, and you have too. And, you know, we have preached in different places, different cities, different states. I even preached on a farm one time, out on a campground on a farm. I'd like to tell you that story sometime. It was exciting. You know, the smoke blowing in my face. I was trying to preach and coughing at the same time. It was exciting, but you know what? There were some people got saved that day. I preached to National Guards. I've preached at youth camps and all kinds of different places. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'll preach at the drop of a hat, and sometimes I'll drop my own hat. But Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into every nation. When I first got saved, I remember people talking about the gospel and what the gospel means. And I was told that the gospel, the word gospel, means good news. And certainly it does. I totally agree with that. But I think sometimes that we have limited this gospel to being a gospel of salvation. I fully believe that is true, and I believe that is great news. Man, if you'd have known me before I was saved, you would know it was good news, not just for me, but for the community as well, when Jesus saved me. But Jesus didn't just say the gospel will be preached. He said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached into every nation. So I had to ask a question. What did he mean about the gospel of the kingdom? And when I read in the book of Matthew, and we're going to go back here just a minute and start at the beginning, you know, when I read through the book of Matthew, I read things like Jesus spoke in parables. You know, we call those an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's just an illustration is what it is. We like to do analogies sometimes, and so he'd speak in parables, and he'd say something like, a man went out to hire laborers in his vineyard. He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It started off by saying the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out to hire laborers in his vineyard. And he tells that story, how this man went out at early in the morning to hire some people, and he hired them. And he saw he wasn't going to get his crops in time, so he went out and he hired some more people, and he went out and he hired some more. And they worked a 12-hour day then. And he even went out at the 11th hour and hired some more people to work in the vineyard. And I thought, well, how can this represent heaven? I don't think we're going to be laboring in a vineyard when we get to heaven. But yet he says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Then he went on to say in Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And I thought, how does that relate to heaven? Oftentimes when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we tend to think of streets of gold and gates of pearls and all those kind of things, and I certainly believe all that is true. But I also believe that there is something that we are missing if we don't completely study the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at the subject of the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to begin with Matthew, and I hope that our listeners today have a pencil and paper so they can at least write some of these scriptures down and study them a little bit later. When we look at this, first of all, I want to talk about Matthew. You know, Matthew presented Jesus as the king. That's why I started out with the genealogies, or if you use a King James Version, some people call it the begats. You know, this one begat that one, and so on and so forth. Matthew is actually writing to a Jewish audience, presenting the fact that Jesus Christ was the rightful heir to the throne. And that's one of the prophecies that Messiah would sit on David's throne. So Matthew is showing Jesus as the king of the Jews. He's presenting him that way. Now, each of the four Gospels present Jesus in a different way, but we're going to just look at Matthew today. As we begin to look at this, I want to read and study it and dig into it. Sometimes we find that the words the kingdom of God, for instance, and the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable terms. Luke says that the disciples went preaching the kingdom of God is near. Matthew says that they went preaching the kingdom of heaven is near. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so these terms are often used interchangeably. Matthew presents Jesus as a king, as I've already said. So we're going to talk about that kingdom and where it is and what it is. And hopefully we can get to some understanding of it. When Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto every nation, he was talking about this gospel of the kingdom of heaven that we are living in, listen closely, that we are living in right now. If you are a born-again child of God, you are a citizen of heaven. We haven't reached that celestial somewhere yet, but we are in the presence of God right now here on this earth. Don't misunderstand. I am not teaching that heaven is here on earth or that hell is here on earth. I know there are people that teach that kind of thing. I had a guy tell me a few years ago, it's just what you make of it that makes a difference. I tell you, what I'm making of it isn't worth very much. But what God is making of it makes a huge difference in my life. Now, first, let's take a look at some of the preaching of the kingdom. John the Baptist, he came before Jesus to prepare the way for him. In a similar way, I think that combat engineers go out to prepare a way for the army. They build roads or bridges. They cut a path through the jungle. Whatever is needed so that the army can accomplish its mission. I've been involved in a couple of crusades, and Billy Graham type of crusades. And these things will usually start about 2 years before the crusade actually begins, the preparation, the planning. Advanced teams will come in. When I was in Ohio, I was involved in a couple of different crusades there. One was a Bill Glass crusade, and he used the same principles that Billy Graham used in planning for these things. We started about 2 years ahead. I was on the prayer committee on that, so we started at least a year before the crusade was to begin and started having prayer, and different churches coming together, different plans of prayer within the church about this crusade, about what was going to happen. I was involved in a Ralph Bell crusade. They call them a celebration for Ralph Bell. Same thing. We had advanced teams come in and started doing some training for people, how they could be soul winners, how to, you see in Billy Graham type of crusades. Of course, it's Franklin Graham now. But you see when they give the invitation, thousands of people will come forward. A lot of those people are actually counselors that are coming up. And we had a certain spot to stand. We had marks on the floor we were standing on. When people come up, we were to pray with them and counsel with them. But we had training before we did that. So they were paving the way. These people that come in to do the training were paving the way. So John the Baptist was really paving the way for Jesus. But let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. When Jesus launched his public ministry, he went preaching the same thing. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The King James Version says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My paraphrase is this: the kingdom of heaven is so close you can touch it. Neither John nor Jesus was talking about some distant celestial city. They weren't talking about something that you don't get until you die. Both of them said the kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. It is here now. God is the God of now. I get a bit frustrated when I hear Christians talk like the only benefit of being a Christian is live a very restricted and boring life. Don't have any fun, have a long face and judge everyone. Then someday you will finally die and get out of this mess and go to heaven. You know, that seems to be the attitude that some people have. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've met a lot of those people. Be like a fellow sitting in church and fell asleep. And when he woke up, they were voting on something. He said, I don't know what we're voting on, but I'm against it.
yeah,
you know,
I've
there's
heard
some people that are like that. Let me just add one thing here, Pastor Ben. While you're talking about the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, this is something I came up with a couple of years ago that's helped me to understand that. Whenever I see that phrase, kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, I just insert the phrase God's way of doing things.
Right.
And I just look at that. I say the kingdom of heaven or God's way of doing things is like this. Or that's the way I look at the parables. You know, God's way of doing things is like this. God's way of doing things is like that. You know, preach and repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, God's way of doing things is at hand. And so If we could just understand it to say God's way of doing things, I think it would help us because it just kind of puts it in a modern day vernacular to where we can understand it better. Now, you've been on a roll there with that, so just
that's okay. Thank
go
you,
ahead.
Chris. Well, you know, some people ask, well, where is this kingdom? And you remember that was a question that Jesus was asked. And I'm going to touch on Luke 17 just a little bit. I'm not going to do a lot on that. We'll get to that a little bit later. But he says, the kingdom of God, in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. He said, don't be going out looking here or there for the kingdom because you won't find it because it's within you. But actually, the Greek word that is translated as within would be better translated as clothed. It's from the same root word in Luke 24:49, where Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended back to heaven, he said, I want you to stay in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. In other words, we should be wrapped up in the kingdom of heaven. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If you will allow your mind to focus on the fact that you are living in the kingdom of heaven now, this alone will transform your thinking. It will change your attitude. You will become a more positive person, and everything in your life will change for the better. If you're a Christian, you are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is within you. This is a very important message. It was the message of John. It was the message of Jesus. It was the message of his disciples, and it should be our message today. So I ask you, when is the kingdom? You know, I've talked about where is the kingdom. When is the kingdom? It's now. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Notice that the message of Jesus was a kingdom message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. This theme is followed through the book of Matthew in chapters 5 and 6. Jesus preached what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually a sermon on kingdom living. So I encourage you to read chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew and think about that as kingdom living. How do I live in the kingdom? If I am truly a Christian, I'm truly in the kingdom of God now, how do I live that out? So I want us to look at this just for a moment, and I won't have time to go through all this, the Beatitudes. The first few verses we call the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Did you get that? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He does not mean the spiritually bankrupt when he says the poor in spirit. He means those with an humble spirit, just the opposite of an arrogant spirit or a judgmental spirit. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That is present tense. It's a present possession. It's not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. Jump on down to verse 10. He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Think about that just for a moment. We may have some listeners who are being persecuted wherever that they may be. You have a job where the boss is always on your back, or your co-workers make fun of you. It's hard. It's a hard place to work. Remind yourself that you are a citizen of heaven. Develop a kingdom attitude. Pray that God would put a song in your heart. I used to work in a place that if I told you some of the stories that happened at that place, you probably wouldn't believe it. They would be hard to believe, some of the things that I faced in that place. And so every morning when I went to work, I pulled in the parking lot, I would pray before I went into work. Then at lunchtime, I'd go sit in my car and I'd read the Bible and I would pray. And later on, another man came there, Andy Freeman. He's pastoring Christ the King Church in Delaware, Ohio now. And Andy and I just kind of teamed up together. And God put a desire in our heart to see God fill that place, as bad as it was. And I've often heard the darker it is, the better you can see the light. So our light was shining pretty well there at that time. And so we made a deal with some of the guys at work that we would take them anywhere in town for lunch. We'd buy them anything on the menu except alcohol if they would just listen to what we had to say. And so we took them out, and sure enough, they would listen. They tried to break the bank. They tried to order the most expensive thing on the menu. But anyway, we got to lead some people to the Lord. And there's one man there told me one day, he said, "You know, I've always been jealous of you." And I said, "Why?" He said, "I see you praying and reading your Bible." And he said, "I want to do that too." So I got to lead him to the Lord. And I want to tell you, and I want to encourage people today that we are in the kingdom of God. And we need to live like citizens of the king. Our daddy is the king, and we can go sit on daddy's lap, and we can tell him about the problems that we're facing each and every day. And God is able to take care of us no matter what the situation is. And so there we have it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It is a present possession right now for the children of God.
I have it right now. Boy, that's exciting news. It's not something I got to wait for.
Right.
Something
you don't have to wait till you die till you get it.
I can do things God's way right now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I like that.
Things done God's way. That's what it's like to be in the kingdom. But it means, am I doing things God's way? You know, This is what it means. We can talk about the kingdom of God where things are done His way, but the real thing is, am I doing things God's way? Am I letting myself get in the way? When those guys at work are saying things they shouldn't be saying, how do I respond? Am I responding with a Christian attitude, an attitude of love? I want to see them in the kingdom as well.
We want to thank those of you who support us financially and prayerfully. We have a special offer for you. For those who would give a donation of $20 to the ministry, we have a CD of the Love and Life Trio, and you've heard the song No Fire in the Pulpit on there, and there's other songs on there that you'll be hearing. But for everyone who give a $20 donation, we have that CD for you that we'll get out to you. And then also, if you don't want the CD, I've also written a book about long life, longevity. How long are we supposed to live? Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, you never know when your time's up. When your time's up, your time's up. Can I tell you that that's not biblical, and the Bible does have something to say about it? You ask people, how long is man supposed to live? And they'll say, well, 60 to 70 years. Can I tell you that's not what the Bible says? It is in there, but that's not a reference to what God says about how long we're supposed to live. And so I sat down and did a one-year study on longevity according to what the Bible says. And so I wrote a little 50-page book on it. And if you'll give a $20 donation, you can get the book. You can have the CD or the book. But if you want both, for a $30 donation, we give you both of those and get them out in the mail to you. Thank you once again for your financial and prayerful support. Thanks for listening to this segment of Loving Life, sponsored by Loving Life Ministries. We are available for concerts, revivals, special services, or maybe your pastor just needs a day off. Just give us a call at 859-396-9430. Or if this program has been a blessing to you, drop us a card or a letter to Loving Life, Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky. That's Loving Life at Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 40356. We do appreciate your prayers and financial support for this ministry.
I'm Rod Tanner, and your Central Kentucky forecast is brought to you in part by eBusinessReportLexington.com. Free resources to help you grow your business. Wrapping up the weekend, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds at a high 52, 11 to 15 miles an hour. Overnight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low 27. We'll have a sunny Monday, our high 48. Monday night, it'll be clear with a low 27. We'll have sunny skies on Tuesday, our high 52. We'll have a mostly cloudy Wednesday with a high 57. There's your forecast from the Weatherbug Center at 770 AM and 93.3 FM, The Eagle.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names. Really? Yeah. They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-319-4486, 800-319-4486.
Gospel Music Fan Fair returns to Somerset, Kentucky, featuring performances by more than 100 of today's best-loved artists. Enjoy 6 days and nights of the best in live gospel music. Don't miss the 15th annual Gospel Music Fan Fair, May 13th through May 18th, at the Center for Rural Development in Somerset, Kentucky. Visit gospelmusicfanfare.com or call 205-662-4826 for more information.
WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
The following program is sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
What we saw in New York should chill us to our core.